church, that brings us all the way up to our ninth objective. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to restrain us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to restrain us. The subtitle for tonight's message is The Love of Christ. The Love of Christ. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Church, we must rely on the Holy Spirit to restrain us. That word restrain simply means to hold back. It means to hold back. Restrain means to prevent from doing. To prevent from doing. It means to keep in check and under control. Restrain, it means to hold back, to prevent from doing, to keep in check or under control. Church, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, He restrains us. He prevents us from doing what we ought not do. He keeps us in check and under control. He restrains us. And in fact, if you think about restraining and compelling, the Holy Spirit's power of compelling and restraining go hand in hand. They are two sides of the same coin. The Holy Spirit, He compels us. He urges us toward a righteous course of action while also restraining us, preventing us from doing what we ought not do. And in doing this, He keeps us in check and under control. He restrains us. And you might say, well, Pastor, that makes perfect sense. So what you're telling me is that the Holy Spirit, He keeps me from doing bad things. He keeps me from smoking and drinking, keeps me from fornicating, lying and cheating. He keeps me from stealing. The Holy Spirit just keeps me from doing bad things. Well, it's not that superficial. It goes deeper than that. See, that's superficial. It goes much deeper than that. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? See, we like to think of the Holy Spirit's restraining power in light of our list. All of us have our list. You know, our list of holy obligation. Those things that we don't do, that we've decided, I'm a Christian and I don't do that. It is the list of things that we don't do that make us feel better than everybody else, causes us to feel superior to others. Well, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't do drugs. It's our list of holy obligation. We want to think of the Holy Spirit's restraining power in light of our list, but it's much deeper than that. See, because there are a lot of things that we don't do that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit's restraining power. There are a lot of things that you don't do that have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you know, some people don't drink because they don't like alcohol. And that's why they don't drink. Some people don't drink or smoke because they are obsessed with keeping their body healthy. There's nothing wrong with keeping your body healthy. We should keep our body healthy. But the reason that they don't drink and smoke has nothing to do with the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Some people don't do drugs because they are afraid of addiction. The idea of losing control is not appealing to them. It's frightening to them. So they just don't do it. Some people don't steal, you know, flat out steal, because they think it's beneath them. Now, they will try to manipulate you to give you what belongs to you, but to outright steal? Well, I would never engage in such low-level behavior. It has nothing to do with the controlling or restraining power of the Holy Spirit. It has to do with pride. Some people don't fornicate because they simply have not been propositioned. Nobody's asked, so they don't fornicate. See, there are a lot of things that we don't do because we just don't want to do them. Has nothing to do with us being yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to stop being so self-righteous. When we look at other people and we say, well, I just don't understand how you can do that. Well, it's not on their list. So the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is much deeper than our list of do's and don'ts. Okay, Pastor, you have my attention. How then does the Holy Spirit restrain us? What does he prevent us from doing? And how does he keep us in check? Well, when I surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, he keeps me from living for self. When I surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, he keeps me from living for self. That's a lot deeper than the list. See, he prevents selfishness. He prevents self-centeredness. He keeps me from self-interest and self-will. That's the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. He keeps me from self-interest and self-will. Church, the compelling and restraining power of the Holy Spirit cause us to live for Jesus Christ and not for self. When you bring those two powers together, that compelling power and restraining power cause us to live for Jesus Christ and not for self. See, selfless living is a mark of a believer who is yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. Selfless living, not selfish, but selfless. Selfless living is a mark of a believer. In other words, it's an indication that the believer is yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. If as a believer you live selfishly, you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what kind of spiritual spin you put on it. If as a Christian you are living a selfish, self-centered life, you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. Church, you have to hear clearly what I'm saying, and we cannot continue to deceive ourselves. Because in the church today, many of us as believers, we are lying on the Holy Spirit. We are presenting him as someone that he is not. So in the church today, you look at people and they think that you are more spiritual or you are more spirit-filled and spirit-led if you are puffed up, if your chest is stuck out, if you can talk boldly about what God has anointed you to do and what God has gifted you to do, and if you could just strut your spiritual stuff, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's self. Self with a spiritual label. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, he conforms us to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He conforms us to Jesus. You remember Jesus? Though he was and is the eternal Son of God, he set aside all of his own interests, made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He was selfless. He was obedient. Obedient to the will of the Father, even though it meant death on the cross. Jesus suffered and died to please the Father and to save us. That's why he died. He had no self-centered reason for dying. He didn't need somebody to love. He was in the bosom of the Father in all eternity. He chose to love us, and there was nothing that we could offer him in return. His love for us was selfless. He set self aside. So if I'm puffed up, if I'm puffed out, if I can't humble myself, if I cannot set aside my interests, if I cannot set aside my desires, if how I relate to God is always from the vantage point of what I want him to do for me, if my Christian commitment is based on my personal convenience, if I'm only willing to go so far with the Lord, then I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to influence my life. I'm not yielded. I'm not yielded. Because when the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, he restrains us. He keeps us from being selfish. Keeps us from living for self. And church, here's the important part. He restrains us through love. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, he restrains us, and he restrains us through love. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here we are back in Corinthians. We were in 1 Corinthians on Sunday, and now we're in 2 Corinthians. And we learned that while Paul addressed the church in 1 Corinthians, and he addressed various issues that they had, we have to understand that the letter, 2 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians is very different. What was the issue in 2 Corinthians? Well, the issue in 2 Corinthians was simply the church's view of ministry and leadership. That's what Paul was addressing in 2 Corinthians. The church's view of ministry and leadership. See, the church had been infiltrated by false teachers that Paul called sarcastically super apostles. He used this sarcastic term to describe them. And he called them super apostles because they were very different from Paul. See, these false teachers opposed him and belittled him. They were worldly, well-dressed, polished speakers. They were prideful, boastful, and they were harsh in their leadership. If you think about it, it describes a lot of leadership in the church today. So they were just really full of themselves. And they lifted themselves up in pride. Paul, on the other hand, was a very humble man. And he came to the church at Corinth as a humble servant and as a laborer among the people. In other words, Paul, when he came to Corinth and he taught the church, he worked at the same time. He did not ask the church to support him personally in ministry. And the church thought that belittled him. Because after all, if he was anybody, if he was somebody, he would have asked the church to support him. And Paul did not hide his apparent weaknesses. He didn't hide his weaknesses. And the church looked at him with contempt. He was viewed as unimpressive in appearance and in speech. That's how they viewed him, that he was unimpressive in appearance and in speech. They said, Paul's letters, they're weighty, but his speech is contemptible. And so the problem for these Corinthians is they fell in love with the false teachers, viewing them as more spiritual than Paul. So Paul writes to vindicate his ministry. and to urge the Corinthians to